Glad to have you guys here for the second half of today's podcast. Monday, March 25th, 2024. We just did the UFC Vegas 89 recap. Fun show. Talked about a lot of stuff other than just the card. So definitely check that out if you missed it. But time to preview UFC Atlantic City, Marcel. Blanchard versus Fiorot. We got, I think, 13 or 14 fights, actually. 14 fights. So big card. I'll get some comments here. Glenn, what's with the pay-per-view times in this card? Dude, I don't know. It starts at 7 o'clock again. I'm not sure what's going on with this. If I had to guess, I know that they have the March Madness tournament, Glenn. There's like a big basketball tournament right now, and maybe those games are earlier in the day, so they don't want to compete with it. That's the only thing I can think, because it's pretty late. I think they show some of the games. But I live in Canada, so I'm not 100% sure. Thousands of tickets unsold, really. Oh, it's not that. I think the card's decent, to be honest with you, but yeah.
Is this card on big ESPN? Because if it is, then it's normally later, just like last week. This was also on big ESPN.
I think that's what I'm saying. I think it is, but I don't know for sure. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, this call, is this you or is this someone
else? Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Okay, I thought it was some I mean, that doesn't sound like you, but
don't block me. Don't block me.
I know, right? You should have timeout. Barber going the winner. No, I think they could fight the winner. It's possible. We got a bunch of guys though. We got Rex, we got Fire Realm, Antoine. Joe, what's up, man? Glad to have you here. Love this card's fans. Yeah, dude, I mean, it's good to have the fans again, you know, like it is. And I think this card's solid. So let's just get into it, guys. We talked a lot in the last show. So UFC Atlantic City, 14 fights. Marcel, your overall thoughts on the card as we head into it. What do you think about this card?
Yeah, there's a lot of comment on this card, man, but I don't think it's that bad. I think it's kind of a weird bout order. I got to say that, man. I don't know why they got John DeRoba and Lupi off the main card. You know, I thought that was one of the more important fights on the card, to be honest. And also, I would have put Landwehr against Amers on the main card over Rhys McKee and Joe Kwani, and maybe also over Aljo against Kyle Nelson. But hey, that's me. But overall, a good card. I'm looking forward to it, man. It just fucking sucks that it's so late. And we have like a daylight savings time during this card on Saturday. So the prelims over here start at midnight, and the main card starts at 4 a.m. From 3 a.m. it goes automatically to 3 a.m., right? 2 to 3. So,
Yeah. So I don't even know if I recapped the last card. I did pretty good. 9-4. I think you went 8-5. So pretty solid event from us. I'm looking for a big night here. I want to get 10 or 11, right? I hope. I mean, we'll see. Because I think there's a lot of fights that – I think there's a lot of live dogs in this card, but also there's a lot of fights that, you know, the favorites should win. So it's kind of an interesting card, I think. You have a mix of, like moderate – you don't have, like, any – you have one huge favorite. We'll talk about him in a few minutes. But really, it's, like, close fights, like, 2-1 odds. So
– by the way –
yeah, it's an interesting card. What do you say?
Let me plug. I got two interviews coming up this week with Aaron Blanchfield and with Vicente Luque. So
awesome. All right, let's get into the card. So first fight of the night. I'm using UFCstats.com, by the way, guys. Angel Pacheco taking on Callan Loughran. Odds for this one. Callan is the favorite. I hope I'm saying his name right, by the way. I know it's these Irish guys, man. They're not the easiest ones. -355. So I think he is the second biggest favorite in the card. Angel Pacheco +280. And I'll just start this one off. I mean, I think this guy wins Loughran. I'm pretty sure he wins this fight. You know, I know he lost his debut against a pretty tough opponent, I think, for your debut, Taylor Lapolis. Because Taylor Lapolis, man, double impact, is a very well-rounded fighter. You know, he's a guy who's had a lot of success in the UFC, got cut, but didn't get cut because he lost. Got cut because I don't know what happened. The contractors, they just didn't figure it out. He's a solid fighter. That's a hard debut. And he still took him down a couple times. So it's like, I think you can implement wrestling here. If it stays on the feet, I mean, the Pacheco guy we saw in the contender fight against Dan Silva, he's a dog. He's going to stand there and trade. But it also worries me how many shots he ate in that fight. And, you know, Loughran, I think he'll just take him down. I don't think he'll stay on the feet. I don't think – why would you stay and trade with a guy that could knock you out? He's, again, one of the biggest favorites on the card, second biggest. And I'm pretty sure this is accurate. I think he just takes him down and kind of grinds him out, pushes him against the fence, and wins the decision. What do you think?
By the way, Callan Loughran has like the two worst English fighters on his record in his first and second fight, Will Cairns and Reese Street. I think they are both 0-40.
The Reese Nightmare on Elm Street or whatever is like the worst fighter ever. He's terrible. Yeah.
So he won against those guys, obviously. But he's a good fighter, man. He's a former Cage Warriors champion. He's good in his wrestling. I expect him to take Pacheco down and likely either wins by TKO by ground and pound or wins by decision. I think this is a good bounce back fight for Callan Loughran, and I think he wins the fight.
There you go. All right, let's go to the next fight here. We have the middleweights going at it when Andre Petroski takes on Jacob Malkoon. Odds for this one, Malkoon is -218 favorite, Petroski +180. I'll start on this one too. You know, I view this as a pretty competitive fight, yeah, just because they're both kind of like grappling based fighters. But at the same time, Marcel, I do think Malkoon, you know, listen, I don't like watching a fight because I think he's boring, but he's fucking good with his takedowns. I mean, I thought he beat Brandon Allen a couple years ago. I really thought he won that fight. And if he had won that fight, I mean, you think how different those careers would play out.
What's in Singapore, right?
Yeah, it was on that Glover and Yuri card. I thought he won. He landed 7 takedowns. You know, he had 9 against Nakhimov, 6 against Dobson, 8 against Abdulrazak Al-Hassan. He did get snuffed out in 18 seconds against Phil Hawes, which was bad. The last thing is Cody Brundage, he was dominating the fight, and then he got DQ'd for being a dumbass, basically. But he was well on his way to winning, dude. He was. I mean, he was going to win that fight again. So he's a guy that just – he's got the style that's not exciting to watch. And I honestly, Marcel, I could see him being cut if he loses because his style's not very exciting, you know? Petroski, I think he's had a really good run in the UFC. You know, he's kind of a weird fighter because he has these fights where he just – there's times in the fights where he's like – he looks like he's gassed or he's just getting hit a lot, and then he comes back and wins. The last fight was bad, though, against Pereira. Gets destroyed in a minute. He was on vacation in Thailand and then took this fight on vacation. Very, very bad decision, obviously. Gets brutally knocked out, loses his 5-fight win streak. But, I mean, he's fought some pretty good guys. Maximov, Mearshart, got wins against those guys. Termin. They're not bad. So, because he has good wrestling, too, I think that's why it's an interesting fight. Like, I do think Malkoon's just slightly better at the wrestling. That's why I'm going to pick Malkoon. That's why I think he's favored here, but I wouldn't bet it because I think Petroski could nullify it. You know what I mean? And he is fighting close to home. He's a Philly guy. So you never know, man. I think it's going to be a close fight. I think it's going to the scorecards. And it's going to be close. And it could be one of those fights where Malkoon has the control, but Petroski does the damage. I don't know. What do you think about this one?
It feels kind of like a mirror matchup. You know what I mean? It's like both guys are really heavy into wrestling all the time. Malkoon. Yeah, he's like that fighter, like you compare with watching Payne Dry. Really boring to watch, but really effective what he does, you know. Petroski started well in his UFC career, like we said, came from the Ultimate Fighter where he lost in the semis. I feel like Malkoon can make it a boring fight again, you know. I think Petroski has a chance, but yeah, I'm also leaning towards Malkoon. You know, there are not a lot of fighters who are going to beat Malkoon unless they can they can prevent from being taken down, I think. So, yeah. So, decision. Probably the top is still going to win against him. Yeah, decision, I would say. I hope there's a finish. And if there's a finish, I think Petroski might win. But this might be a super boring fight if Malkoon gets his way, you know.
And that's funny. Like, Pato says if Malkoon didn't do that against Brundage, he'd be fighting Bo Nickel right now. You know, it's possible. You never really know. They would have sacrificed him with a bow. What's up, Side Collectibles? Ghost, what's up? We also had Rui in the chat too, a bunch of guys. So appreciate you guys in the chat today. It's awesome. All right, let's go to the next fight here. This is a women's flyweight bout. Victoria Dudikova moving up in weight, taking on Melissa Gatto. Dudikova missed weight in her last fight, and I guess they're forcing her up in weight. And I think Dudikova opened as a favorite here, but the line swapped, and now Gatto is favored. So yeah, go ahead. What
did you say? Yeah, they didn't force her up. They want to try 125, our manager told me.
Who's her manager? Who is it?
From first round management, Oren something.
Yeah. Anyways, Gatto -155, Dudikova +130. I'll let you start on this one. Go ahead.
I mean, Victoria Dudikova, she had like a staff last time on her ass or something. I don't know exactly. That's what she said to her depressors. So I didn't make that up. She's 2-0 in the UFC, right? She got that win over Estela Nunes with that horrible injury for Nunes. And then she beat Jinju Fry last time. Gatto on a bad streak, right? Lost two in a row, clearly lost to Cortez. Then got a split decision loss against Ariane Lipski. Before that, had two wins in the UFC. I got a favor Dudikova here, man. I still think it will likely be a competitive fight, but I like Dudikova here. I think Dudikova has the momentum as well. She's underdog, right? So I got to push the button here. So my first dog of the night is Victoria Dudikova.
Hit it for me too, man. We got a consensus dog.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. An early one, too. We don't really have those too often. Yeah, I'm going to go through the COVID, too. Like, the line moving is confusing to me. I don't understand, like, what's going on here. Like, is it because she's moving up in weight or something? Like, I think she's the better fighter. Gato is decent, like decent striking, decent grappling. I don't think she's anything special. She'll be a slightly bigger, but I don't know, man. I think Dudikova is going to be the better striker, and I think the grappling will match up. I think she'll win the fight. Like I think people are running her off because she got taken down by Fry in the last fight, and I think it was the second round. But how about that girl, Marina Silva? How about that fight? She had like over 10 minutes of control. And that girl's that's the only loss she's ever had. Yeah. That's not a bad win at all. You know, Gato's looked decent in the UFC. The Litsky fight was pretty close. The Cortez fight was actually pretty close too. Like, she's decent. Like, don't get me wrong, but I'm just surprised by all the steam coming in on Gato. I don't really get it. Like, I don't know. Why is everyone betting Gato? It's kind of weird to me. I don't know. Because when I saw this fight, I'm like, oh, Dudikova should be favored. So to get her as a dog, I mean, I'm surprised by it. Go ahead.
Gato looks like the girl from iCarly, by the way.
Who?
The girl from iCarly.
What's that?
That's a kid. How do you say that? Series. You should look up iCarly, dude. Come on. You don't know what iCarly
is? Kind of look, I don't know what it is, no.
Oh,
no.
Good.
I don't know what it is. Sorry. I really have no idea what you're talking about. I'm like, what? But yeah, I just looked at it. She does kind of look like it. But yeah.
Yeah, Miranda Cosgrove. That's it, yeah.
Do you guys like Gato? I mean, she's decent, but I think Dudikova wins. Taking the dog money, yeah. RUV, Lipsky looks really good. Gato's decent.
Oh, she is.
Money's coming in on Dudikova. Is it? Because I see all the money coming in on Gato. Let me double check that, Tristan. Dudikova. Well, no, Gato's the favorite, man. So, again, the odds opened. I'm going to double check the opener. It was... opening line -220 due to Koba. So all the money's come in on Gato. Flip the line completely. I don't know about it. I'm not sure. I don't really understand. I think it's because of the weight class change. It's not permanent. Marcel just said her manager said
no, it's not permanent.
They're gonna try it out and see how it goes. Anyways, I think she wins it. We have a consensus dog, so I'm a little surprised, but let's take it. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got rematch Ibo Oslin taking on Anton Kakai, the pleasure man. These guys fought in Brave, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago, and Kakai won by submission. Odds are really close to this rematch, Marcel. -125 on Aslan, +105 on Kakai, so like almost a pick 'em, but slightly in Aslan. I'll let you start. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, Ibo Aslan, yeah, that good win over Paulo Renato Jr. in the Contender Series last week. Yeah, and his only loss on his record, on his professional record, is Anton Turkalji, right? And Anton Turkalji, he's 0-3 in the UFC. Man, I tried to pick him before. I think I tried to pick him against Tyson Pedro last time, you know, and I thought he was going to grapple, but he was so smart to stand and bang with him, and he got knocked out. So he's 0-3 now. Yeah, the thing is, like, how a rematch is not always means that that the guy who won the first match wins the second match again, yep. You know. And I think I think I'm going with Aslan. I'm not going to go with Turkalji again. He disappointed me too much. Turkalji wins. I think he knocks him out in the first or second round.
You're taking Turkalji?
No, Aslan. I'm sorry, Aslan.
It's okay. No worries. I was confused. I'm with you on this one too. Turkalji's been nothing but a disappointment in the UFC. Kind of a close fight, I guess, with Petrino, but the other two fights were. I'll give him slack for the Almeida fight.
Almeida, give him
some slack, right? But the Pedro fight, getting knocked out, is such a bad look in that fight. And Aslan's got power. I mean, all his wins, I think, are by knockout, right? Quickly. The thing that bothers me though is the cardio. I'm really worried about this guy's cardio, guys. Like, I think the longer this fight goes, he's going to be in trouble. So I think he's got 5 minutes to win. So I think if you're going to bet on Aslan, you might as well just go with him like under 1.5 rounds or by knockout. I don't even see the point. I mean, I know the money line's, you know, it's close to even. I get that. But, like, take a look at those props instead, under 1.5 or first round or something, because if this fight gets out of the first round, I think he could be in trouble because I think he's going to gas. He's, like, full of muscle. And that's what happened in the first fight. Turkai, you know, was getting beat up a little bit, and then he came back and won by submission. So if this fight goes to the second, third round, Turkai might win the fight, and that's why the line's close. I just can't pick the pleasure man after what I've seen from in the UFC. It just looked terrible. I can't do it. So – I'll take Aslan, but it's not a confident pick. I don't know. I think the jury's out on this guy. You know, I think the cardio is a real big concern personally. So I pick two, but again, I just worry about his cardio if the fight goes past 5 minutes. And also the opposition's not been great either, other than the guy who we lost to in Brave. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got – it's a fun one, I think, Marcel. This fight's kind of flying under the radar. Dennis Bazukia against Conor Matthews. I think it's a fun fight. We have – Bazukia is favored. He is -130. Matthews +110. I think it's gonna be a fun fight. I think it could be like a contender for fight of the night. It's so early on the card though that probably won't end up winning a bonus or anything, but I think it'll be a striking based fight. I think they'll just stand and trade. I really do, and I think it'll be fun to watch. Bazooka, you know, he hasn't done well in the UFC 0-2, but did fight two really good fighters, Sean Woodson, you know, on short notice, and then Jamal Emmers, who knocked him out quickly, which obviously is a bad look, but good fighters, you know. Matthews lost to Francis Marshall, got beat up pretty bad. That he got that win over Yair Farias, his second fight contender, gets signed. He's also, by the way, he has a win over the great Jay Ellis, Marcel, by the way, on his resume. I think it's going to be a close fight, too. I think it goes the distance. I think they're going to beat each other up. I'm going to lean towards Bazooka. I think he'll do a little bit more damage, but I'm not confident. What do you think?
I'm with you. I'm also going with Bazooka. I think he breaks his bad skit in this one. Conor Matthews, he's a good fighter, don't get me wrong, but I see more in Bazooka, to be really honest. I think Conor Matthews, he got signed last year, right, in the Contender Series by beating Jair Farias. That was also a guy from the Fighting Nerds, I remember.
Yeah.
Was a good win, but I see more in Bazooka, man. I think Bazooka wins the decision here.
Couple comments here about this one. We got Zach Dez out of here after the UFC after this one. Well, it's a must-win fight. I mean, I would say that for sure. I love the pay-per-view start times. I prefer it's a little earlier. You know, I got the little one this weekend too. So, yeah. But you know, I'm gonna watch it either way.
It fucking sucks. Let's put it that way.
I'll watch it either way. I'm not gonna care about.
I don't mind the pay-per-view being late, but come on, man, the fight nights don't have to be that late. Really don't.
All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got Julio Arce moving back up to featherweight, taking on Herbert Burns, who returns after a long layoff here. Arce, I alluded to earlier, he is the biggest favorite of the card. -455, +350 on Herbert Burns. I'll start on this one. I think the odds are pretty wide, man. You know, and I get it because Herbert Burns basically quit in his last fight against Bill Algeo. He's coming off two straight fights where he gassed out horribly, right? But he is a talented guy, man. And the wins he has, the Nate Landwehr win, the Dunham win, he washed those guys in the first round, so he's super dangerous in the first round. And again, he is the bigger guy here. He is the featherweight. And Arce, I know he's fought at featherweight, but he's moving back up from bantamweight. Arce is solid. You know, I think the reason he's the biggest favorite of the card is because his takedown defense is 95%. It's like almost impossible to take him down. And he has fought grapplers in the UFC too. They're mostly strikers, but he has fought some grapplers. He's pretty good fighter. You know, nothing amazing, I don't think, but pretty solid. Very inconsistent though. Alternating wins and losses for his last like 8 or 9 fights. He should win this fight. I mean, he should, because how do you trust Herbert Burns, right? But again, I like to pick my spots. And like, I'm like looking at this and I'm like, do I want to lay -455 on Arce? Not really. You know, he should win. He should win the fight. But I just think the odds are, they're a little too wide in my opinion. You know, it's giving Herbert Burns like no respect at all. And the guy's, again, those fights with Bill Algeo and Daniel Pineda, I mean, he did well before he basically crumbled, you know? So he's going to be dangerous for 5 minutes, but, you know, once it goes past five, he's going to lose. So that's why I got to pick Arce. To be honest with you, Arce probably finishes him late because I don't think Herbert has the gas tank to go 50 minutes. So I'll go Arce by, like, second or third round TKO. That first round's going to be sketchy, though, because I think Herbert, you know, will be dangerous. What do you think about this fight, man?
To quote Shane Burgos, which is Julio Arce's teammate, you can't take Julio Arce down. And if you somehow can't take him down, you cannot hold him down. Listen, I like both guys. You know, I think both guys are fun to watch. Burns, I think Burns hasn't won in 4 years, man. It's been a long time, last time he won. And Arce, going back to bantamweight after a few years, he's like, at featherweight, he didn't have to cut any weight. But he felt like the guys at featherweight were too big for him, you know. So he's going back to bantamweight again. I think he will do well. I'm taking also Arce. I think he finishes him the second or third round. TKO, round and pound.
This fight's not going 3 rounds. I'll tell you that right now. The under is set at 1.5. That makes it really tricky. I'll say that right now. That's tricky. So I think, you know, if you want to hedge on Burns by FC Tristan doing a first round sub, that's the way he'd win, you know. But I think Arce probably gets him out of there after that. It's just, I don't like the money line here. I think this is a fight to attack props with instead. Do you think Burns gassed over his Aljo, or do you think it was an injury? I think he gassed over him horribly. What do you think, Marcel?
Yeah.
It says exhaustion from damage on Tapology, and that's not something you want to see. All right, go to the next fight here. We got Vina Jandiroba. Is that how you pronounce it, Marcel?
Just Jandiroba. Jenny
Roba. Jen, calls it Jen G. Dover, right?
Jen G. Roba. Jen G. Roba. That's it.
Vienna, Jen G. Roba against Lupi Godinez, the Mexican-Canadian here. She is favored, minus 205, plus 170 on Bruna. You know, I see a lot of people on Bruna. And I understand she's a good grappler. Like, don't get me wrong. She's coming off a huge win over Bruna Rodriguez. She has some good quality wins in the UFC. She's a quality fighter. But I like Lupi here a lot, man. I think she matches up really well. Like, I don't think she'll take down Lupi. And on the feet, Lupi's just a way better striker. Lupi's leveled up with the striking. She's looked really good the last couple of fights. 4-fight win streak, 1-6-7. I know she has these occasional like hiccups like D'Angelo Hill fight or Luna and Carolina. I get that. But overall, I think Lupi's done really well in the UFC. She's super active, fights all the time, does really well. She won 4 fights last year. She's coming in with so much momentum here. She's only a 2-1 favorite. I like her a lot in this fight, Marcel. I think she wins a decision. I think the fight goes to the distance, the scorecards, and I think Lupi wins all 3 rounds by basically keeping a standing and being the way better striker. What do you think, man?
I mean, there's a clear path for Lupi to win, and that's a striking, I think. The thing is, like, she's also she can grapple, you know, but that's Verna's thing, I think, you know. I think that's where Verna will be dangerous to Lupi if it goes to the ground. Verna's an underrated fighter, you know. I always felt like she's an underrated fighter. That said, I think Lupi has really felt her way in the division. She looked good, so I'm also with Lupi. Probably a decision. I don't think there will be a finish.
Yeah, I mean, I think this fight goes the distance most of the time. They're both very, neither girl's been finished, I don't think. So they're both very, very, very tough. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. This is the prelim main event, I guess you want to call it, featured by all the prelims. It's a good fight, and honestly, it should be on the main card. But regardless, you're getting a good spot here. Nate Landwehr taking on Jamal Emmers. It's a fun fight. Featherweight division. Jamal Emmers is the favorite, minus 218. Nate Landwehr, plus 180. And the opening odds for this one, let me check what they were, because I think they were closer at open. It was opening odds were a pick of minus 110 each. So tons of money's coming on Jamal Emmers here. What do you think about that?
I think it makes sense, man. I think Jamal Emmers is a really underrated fighter. I always said it, you know. And listen, man, if you look at his record in the UFC, he lost to Giga Chikadze in a fight I don't think he really lost, you know. His loss against Pat Sabatini, he did well until he went to the ground with Pat and he got heel hooked, you know. And the Jack Jenkins fight was complete bullshit. He won that fight, in my opinion. So he should have had a way better record than he has in the UFC. If you look at Nate Landwehr, pretty much the opposite. You know, he wins fights where I don't think he won the fight. You know, for example, the fight against Darren Elkins. I will always say that. I think Darren Elkins won the fight, but Darren was so much damage in his face that they all thought that Nate Landwehr did enough, you know. He got a great win against Ludovic Klein. That's still one of, I think that's still his best win in his career, you know. The David Onama fight was crazy. I really like watching Nate Landwehr, but I'm also going to go with Jamal Emmers here, man. I think Emmers wins the fight.
Yeah, I'm picking him too. I like both guys. I think it's a fun fight. I think it's a really fun fight. And I think I like Nate a lot. He's a dog. You know, he's a guy that's going to come forward. He's going to be going for that finish the whole time. I don't know if he gets it, though. I mean, Jamal's, you know, I know he's been finished a couple times, but he's a good fighter, man. He's solid and he's underrated too. You know, he's a guy that he hasn't fought like that often, right? He's been in the UFC, what, 4 years now? He hasn't fought that often. A Sabatini fight, man. I remember he was winning and then just got heel hooked, made a huge mistake, and it kind of set him back. But he picked it up last year. I thought he beat Jack Jenkins. I mean, you could argue he beat Jenkins and Chikadze. You could argue that, right? So He's definitely solid. He's a good striker. He's got a ground game. He's solid. And then Landwehr, you know, pretty good too. I mean, he obviously has got power, but he's got a really good submission game, really underrated on the ground. I don't love Emmers at this 2-1 odds personally. I don't love it, but at the same time, you know, it's hard for me to like ignore the line movement in this one. Like, there's a lot of line movement coming in on him, and you know, I just think with Nate, the problem with him is just super hittable. You know, and I think Emmers will be the better striker and basically win a decision. I'm with you. I think it goes a distance. I think this could also be fight of the night as well. I think it's also a runner for fight of the night. I think it's going to be a really fun fight, but I'm going to take Emmers to win a competitive decision. That's what I'm thinking here. All right, we'll go to a couple comments here. What's up, Beer Chuck? Glad to have you here. Emmers bad fight IQ? I mean, it's a little questionable. I kind of agree. Yeah, that fight was crazy. The David Onama fight. Yeah, I'd say Nate's a live dog. I think he could be, you know. Nate performed well as an underdog. Yeah, he does. He absolutely does. And the crowd's interesting here too. I think the line's a little wide too. I personally think so. So again, I said that about a few fights, but I do feel that way, you know, and I don't like forcing plays, especially if I don't think there's, you know, value on the line. And, you know, for me, it's like, I'm going to stay away from it, but I'll take Emmers. All right, we'll go to the next fight. This is the opening main card fight, Marcel. We got Chidi Bang Bang and Yukawani taking on Reese McKee, the Skeletor. Fun fight. Open up the card. Odds for this one, Chidi is -142, Reese McKee +120. There's been some line movement on this one too, and the money's coming in on the underdog Reese McKee. So what do you think about that? What do you think wins this fight?
I don't know why this fight's on the main card, to be really honest.
Really? I think it's a fun one. I think it's fun.
It's okay, but there are better fights on the prelims, I think. Chidi goes to 170. I'm really, really wondering how he looks, Chidi at 170. When he's going to cut. We lost three in a row, you know. He's a fun fighter to watch, you know, but he kind of gave it away, man, against Mikhail Oleksiychuk last time, you know.
Yeah.
If you look at Reese McKee, still waiting for his first UFC win. He got that stint with where he fought Chimaev and Morono. Remember where his mouth guard went under the cage and they couldn't find it anymore. Then came back after being champion in Cage Warriors, and he lost to Angelusa last time out. I think Njokuani wins the fight, man, to be honest. I think going with the decision for Chidi, but I'm really, really wondering how he goes at 170, man.
Bro, I'm honestly shocked you're picking by decision, because I think if this fight goes past, like, the first round, he's going to be in huge trouble, personally.
All right.
Again, respect, obviously, your takes, but, like, the cut's really worrying me here to welterweight. I think that's why the money's coming in McKee, because people are worried about this weight cut. And I get it. He's 35. And he's cutting down to 170 for the first time in like 10 years, I want to say. And he's a guy that he lost, like his voice changed. Remember, Marcel, he talked about this?
Yeah.
His voice is permanently different now. He's got that really deep voice, man. It's even deeper than that. It's fucking, he's that guy, Marcel, they need to like do a commercial. What'd you say, Marcel? He needs to read a book or something. What'd you say?
He sounds like fucking Barry White. So, yeah.
Dude, I love his voice, but I just worried about that because when I heard that story, I was like, holy shit, he'll never fight at 170 again. Now he's doing it. So that's the concern here. But the thing is, Reese McKee is just like, he hasn't won the UFC. He's super hittable. He's eating over 9 strikes a minute in 3 fights. And I understand one of them is Hamza. I'll give him a pass on that one. But Morono and Losa are just like, well, Morono's a decent fighter, I guess, but Losa's not great. And Losa beat him up pretty good. I know the third round, though, he won that third round, I think, right? Losa got tired and Skeleton was coming back. Remember, he almost finished him. So that's the worry here for me. I wouldn't bet on Chidi here. I wouldn't do it, guys, because he's going to have 5 minutes to probably get the finish. My lean is Chidi too, Marcel. I'm just going to say that. I'm leaning him, but it's like it's slight lean. It's not like confidence, because how could you be after his last couple fights, you know? But again, the first round is so dangerous, and we've seen that. Like, remember against Marc-Andre Barrio? I remember I picked him there, 16 seconds, and Dusko knocked him out. The RoboCop fight was doing well, and then, you know, ended up, you know, shitting the bed. But that's the problem. The cardio is bad. Even against the Albert Duraev guy, that guy has bad cardio too, and Duraev had better cardio than him. So the cardio is a huge worry to me, especially 170, cutting in this weight. But again, it's hard to ignore the physical tools. He'll be massive at welterweight. He's huge. And he's got great Muay Thai, right? Great striking, great elbows, punches, kicks. I think he probably knocks McKee out, but I'm not betting on this fight. I'm not doing it. No thanks. Couple comments here. Underrated podcast. I really appreciate that, man. Thank you. Sure Dog's definitely made a mistake here. It's 170. Right, Marcel? It's 170?
Yeah, it's 170.
The cut worries me, Tristan. It really does. Yeah, it's been a long time. McKee by decision. I'll take a look. McKee decision. Don't see it up, but you can check your local sports book. I don't know if the props are up yet. I mean, it's kind of early in the week still. I think, honestly, though, I don't think this fight goes the distance. I think McKee would probably finish him if it gets past, like, the first round or something. So, yeah, I think either guy by knockout is a good pick here, because I think Chidi first round's super live, and then after that, I think he'll get tired. I know you said decision, Marcel, but I can't see it, man, because of the weight cut. I think it's going to be bad. But, yeah, Chidi, I mean, he did knock out Fiallo really quick, and then, yeah. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got what do you think about this fight? Kyle Nelson getting a main card spot against Bill Algeo. Odds for this one, Bill Algeo is favored. He is -218. Kyle Nelson +180. And listen, I like the Canadian fighters, but he's not the most exciting guy to watch. Like, I don't really understand why they're pushing this guy. Like, Nate Landwehr probably should be getting this spot with Jamal Emmers on this as the featured fight. I guess they think Algeo, I mean, he's a Jersey or a Pennsylvania guy, right? So he'll be fighting close to home. But Kyle Nelson's just, he's not really in exciting fights. I'll give my pick for this one. I think Algeo wins. I think he's got the style to beat Kyle Nelson. I think Kyle Nelson's a guy that's improved, but I I just think Aljo will be a little sharper on the feet, keep it standing, and he's got the cardio to match Kyle Nelson. Like, he's not a guy that gets tired. Kyle Nelson's kind of been getting by these guys by kind of being, like, really good defensively lately and having good cardio and minding his P's and Q's. But I don't know. I think Aljo's got the style to beat him. I think it's a fight he wins. And I think Aljo wins by decision. I think this fight definitely goes to decision. They're both very tough. What do you think, man?
I agree. Next fight.
Yeah, you don't like it, eh?
Mm.
It's why is it on the main card? I really don't understand it.
It's
kind of odd. All right, go to the next one here. We got a fun one in the middleweight division. Nursultan Burzaboyev taking on Cedricus Dumas. Odds for this one. Nursultan he's one of the bigger favorites in the card, minus 270. Dumas plus 220. Listen, I think Dumas, again, you know, he's a guy that obviously a lot of people don't like because of the whole, you know, gang arrested thing for alleged domestic violence. It's not good. But, you know, he's got some skill. You know, he's still pretty young. He's 28. So he's still pretty young. I don't think he's looked amazing in the UFC. I think his two wins were really shit fights against Azatar and Brundage. They were just terrible fights, but he still won them. So good for him. The friend loss, though, bothers me. You know, by submission, that bothers me a lot because Nursultan is a submission expert, really. And he looked amazing in his debut, and it was so fast, it was only a minute, so we didn't see a lot. But the guy's just got tons of submissions. He's training nearby. He's huge for this division. I'm not totally sold on this guy, I'll be honest, Marcel, because I think the level of competition is still a question mark if you look at who he's fought before the UFC. And I think that's why it took so long for him to get signed, because I think the matchmakers were like, well, he's winning, but the guys he's beating are not great. But at the same time, how do I ignore all the submission wins? How do I ignore the crazy record? You know, how do I ignore this win streak? I can't. So I have to pick the guy. I just think Dumas, you know, he's a guy that's kind of an intriguing prospect just because I think he's got some, like, raw tools here. But because I lost a friend by submission, I have to go with Nursultan by submission. What do you think?
Yeah, to say that, man, the UFC encourages actually that stuff with betting your record, dude, because Dana always says on the Dana White looking for a fight and contender series, yeah, I'm not interested in guys who are like 12-5. And then you look at the five losses and it gets like a legit competition, you know, and the other guy who is like 15-1, he fought like 13 guys who had an 0-0 record, for example, you know, so they pretty much encourage that shit. I think Dumas has definitely potential. I think he's still in a learning curve to go, you know. Burzaboyev, hard to say, man, to be really honest, you know. I've seen his footage. Yeah. He's a fun fighter to watch, but there are some really weird finishes in his footage, you know. And that Bruno Ferreira knockout, you cannot say a lot about that because that was super quick. I'm still leaning Burzaboyev in this one. I think he wins the fight, but I think it's difficult, you know, because I'm still not sold on either one, but I think Burzaboyev wins the fight.
Tristan's asking about Dumas's TV history. I mean, just Google it. I mean, I'm not going to be the one who goes and shits on this guy because I don't know what the story, but I'm looking at SureDog right now, and he's got quite a history about it. So I would just go and read it up about it yourself. Yeah. Anyways, we both have the same pick here. We'll go to the next fight here. We got another middleweight fight. They go back-to-back middleweight fights, Marcel. Former UFC middleweight champion Chris Weidman returns to the octagon when he takes on Bruno Silva, the guy who maybe gave Alex Pereira his toughest fight besides Izzy. Is that fair to say, Marcel? You think that's fair to say?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, crazy enough. Bruno Silva is a big favorite. Minus 290, Chris Weidman plus 235. Marcel, I have to take Bruno Silva. There's no way in hell I could pick Chris Weidman. I can't do it. I think Silva knocks him out. I think he ends his career. I honestly am a little surprised they're giving Chris a guy like this that can brutally knock him out in New Jersey. I thought they would give him a fight that against, you know, a guy that is at the bottom end of the division just to get him a win. Maybe retire on a good note, but I can't pick Weidman, man. He's 2-7 in his last 9 fights. 6 of those losses by knockout. He broke his leg against Uriah Hall. He came back against Tavares, looked really bad in that fight. I know Bruno Silva's also lost 4 or 5, but I think he's losing to like really good guys, and he's got huge knockout power. The knockout win over Tavares is big. Tavares has got a really good chin. For him to knock him out just shows how much power he has. And again, I thought he gave Pereira a good fight. You know, I don't agree with Jamal Hill saying he beat Alex Pereira. That's crazy talk, but, you know, I think there's definitely guys that are grapplers that could beat him, but guys that are a little bit more durable than Chris Weidman at age 39. I can't see Weidman's chin holding up. I think Weidman gets brutally knocked out here and his career ends. And I hope that, you know, he puts his gloves down in the ring and they actually give him a chance to talk on the mic in front of his fans. So what do you think, man?
The UFC really believes in these triangle kind of fights, you know. Brett Tavares beats Chris Weidman. Yep. Bruno Silva beats Brett Tavares. Let's see what Chris Weidman's going to do against Bruno Silva. You know, they always do this shit. Yeah, I mean, why you put Chris Weidman, who has been knocked out many times now, you know, why put him against a guy who has all of his finishes by knockout, you know, but like almost 90% of his finishes. Yeah, Bruno Silva wins the fight unless Chris Weidman can wrestle him for three rounds, but I don't see it happening. So Bruno Silva.
I'm with you. I don't see it happening too. I can't do it. And listen, I'm a huge fan of Chris Weidman, dude. Like, I mean, he, to me, besides Anderson, he's one of the best middleweights of all time. You think he'll be in the Hall of Fame? I would think so, right?
He honestly should be, man. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I think he should be. He's the guy who beat Anderson Silva twice, you know? But it's a good example, man. When people always say, like, Max Holloway should be above Aldo in the GOAT conversation. That's like why he beat Aldo twice. So I always say, so Weidman should be in the GOAT conversation above Anderson Silva.
Yeah, no, I you know what? That's an interesting comparison, actually. I didn't think about that one before, so it's good. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got the co-main event. This one's really tough to call, I think, too. Vicente Luque against Joaquin Buckley. After this one, all the money's coming in on Buckley. I mean, the line's so close now. It's minus 120, Luque plus 100 Buckley. But, I mean, Luque opened as a bigger favorite. Lots of money coming in on Buckley. What do you think, man? What do you think about this fight?
I'm 100% in on Vicente Luque, dude, to be honest. You know, listen, Buckley, good fighter, fun fighter to watch, but inconsistent in my opinion. I don't know, since he went to from middleweight to welterweight, he won two fights, you know. He got the win over Fialdo last time by knockout. But still, Fialdo is not Vicente Luque. Plus, Vicente Luque trains with Andre Fialdo at Killcliff, you know. So he probably knows what to expect. Buckley's a fun fighter, but, man, I still favor Luque. Luque has more tools to win. Luque can knock him out. Luque can take him to the ground, can submit him, you know. Luque's a complete fighter. If Luque loses this one, he's probably on the decline, you know, because this is like he has to defend his top 15 spot. He was supposed to fight Sean Brady, actually, you know, but now he gets Buckley. Good chance for Buckley to get in the rankings for the first time, but, man, I still have to favor Vicente Luque.
This is a tough one to call, guys. I honestly, of this one, I think this is the one I'm struggling the most with on the whole card. I just think either guy has a chance to win here. And again, the line movement is really in favor of Buckley. It's hard to like really ignore with all the money coming in on him. I mean, listen, he's the younger guy. He's fresher a little bit, and he looked good at welterweight, man, so far. He's looked good in this weight class, and he's got good wrestling too. You know, I think that's the thing. Like, if he had bad wrestling, I would definitely be convinced Luque here, because he did show off really good wrestling as RDA, but. The striking, I think it's, you know, I think Luque's probably the better overall striker, but Buckley's got huge power. Luque, you know, the durability's going a little bit, but that's the other thing, though. Buckley's been knocked out way more times than Luque. So I think, you know, everybody's talking about how bad Luque's chain is now, and I get it, Jeff Neal knocked out, but Buckley's been knocked out a lot, too. So that's kind of what I'm thinking here, Marcel, is that Luque can win, too, just because, again, the durability of Buckley's concerning to me. I mean, it really is, but at the same time, man, I can't bet on Luque, dude. I can't do it. I mean, the guy, I think he's on a decline, you know, a little bit. So I'm just struggling with it because, you know, I with my picker, because again, like, I don't want to ignore this line movement. I see it. And I think it makes sense.
Don't think Buckley is the guy. I don't think so.
Probably not, but you never know. So I'll take Luque. You think knockout or decision? What are you thinking?
I'm going with a decision. Maybe a late sub. But
or sub too. I mean, sub is also there. That's the other thing. Like, submissions, he's obviously way better. Yeah. This is a really tricky one, man, for me. I'm leaning Luque. I don't really know the method, guys, to be honest with you. I guess a knockout, but, like, man, he hasn't really been finishing guys lately either. So, I don't know. Well, I shouldn't say recent. I mean, he's fought good. That's the other thing, though. I mean, Bilal is a really hard fight. So is Jeff Neal. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I don't want to write him off completely, Marcel. I can't do it yet, but I'll tell you right now, if he loses this fight, Marcel, I don't think I could pick him anymore. I'll tell you that right now. So this is going to really kind of show where he's at in his career, I would say. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. We got the main event. And I already know who Marcel's picking on this one. So do I even have to ask you, Marcel? I mean, we have Aaron Blanchfield here. And I talk about, like, the steam on this card. I mean, this one opened as a pick, and all the money's coming on Blanchfield. She's minus 200 now and for a plus 165. So all the money's coming in on Blanchfield. And, you know, Marcel, I really thought – I tell you guys, like, I thought I could just come in here and just you know, give a pick and don't think about it. I think about these fights like all weekend, like and all week and for a few weeks. And I thought about this fight all weekend. I really did because I was like, okay, Blanchfield should win. Then I'm like, wait, am I ignoring Fiora, what she's done, especially after, you know, Rose just won and Fiora obviously beat her. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, like, there's some question marks here, right? Because Blanchfield, amazing grappling, right? Fiora, so far in the UFC, 91% takedown defense, very impressive, but hasn't really fought a pure grappler other than Bueno Silva, really, and she didn't really take her down. And Bueno Silva's not even a pure grappler. She's like, well-rounded, I would say. Didn't really even take her down, just didn't trade it. So I went and dug deep on Fiora, and I watched her first fight with Leia McCord again. And I understand that it's, you know, it's been a while. It's been like 5 years. But she got taken down a lot in that fight, Marcel. She got taken down a lot in that fight, you know. And she did, you know, what are you saying?
Do you think she lost that fight?
That fight was super close. It was a split decision. Could have went either way. Because the thing is, she did a little bit more damage, right? And she also, like, switched position, got on top. So I think Fiora probably should have won the fight, to be honest with you. But just the fact she was taken down so many times bothers me. You know what I mean? And now she's fighting Blanchfield. See, if it was just anyone else, I would be like, okay, I think she can stuff these takedowns. But Blanchfield's a fucking killer, man. And the thing is with Blanchfield, dude, I was so high in her, Marcel. Like, I know you were. You were telling me about her a few years ago. Like, dude, this is the girl. This is the one, right? I wasn't sure. You know what I mean? And then after the win over Andrade, I'm like 100% in on her. And then the Tyler Santos fight was competitive, though. And that's the thing that's a little, like, concerning is that she went 0 for 14 in the takedowns there. But at the same time, I'll tell you, I know Tyler Santos got cut. Tyler Santos is a really good fucking fighter, and I thought she beat Valentina Shevchenko. So I don't think that's a, like, just the fact that she didn't take her down. I'm not super concerned because she still won the fight. She still won. And she's so young, she's 24. You know, Fiora's a little bit older, she's 34. So you got 10-year age gap here. You have a fighter that is improving every time we see her. And you know, the other thing is, you know, again, there's no weaknesses so far in the UFC. I get that, but Fiora has been submitted as an amateur too. So, I mean, it's possible as well that, you know, if she gets her down, she could submit her. That's kind of what I'm thinking, Marcel. I think this is a good spot for Blanchfield, 5 rounds in her backyard in Atlantic City to have like that marquee win. Andrade probably was at this point, but this could be the one too. So I know most people probably say a decision win for Blanchfield. I think submission, dude, is very live here. I think she could submit her, and depending on what those odds are, let's take a look. We have odds for that. Blanchfield with sub. I don't see them, but that would be something I'd be looking at, guys. Blanchfield by sub. I think this fight will be really good, and it's going to prove who deserves to fight for a belt. Blanchfield by submission, man. I'm going to go with it. What do you think, dude?
The thing is, like, if you look at the Blanchfield last fight, she completely was taking over in the third round. You know, you saw Santos fading. And I think she would have finished Santos in the fourth if there was a fourth round, you know. Mm-hmm. And you look at Fiora against Namajunas. Fiora was fading in the third round. She lost the third round, I think, against Rose. You know, Rose came back in the fight. So I think the longer the fight goes, it favors Blanchfield. I think Fiora, if she has to win, she has to do it early. She probably has to blitz her, has to try to knock her out. But the thing is, like, she can get taken down. Yeah, I'm all in on Blanchfield. You know that. You knew that before the podcast. You knew that a year ago. So you knew that fucking 3 years ago. So I picked her to win against Norma Dumont, remember?
I'm so convinced Dumont would have just, like, pushed her against the fence for 3 rounds, though, personally. The size difference was crazy. Dumont was, like, 147 that night or something. You know?
Yeah. I'm going with Blanchfield. I think she either wins a decision or she wins a late submission. That's what I think. I think at a certain moment, Fiora will fade, you know, like she did against Rose. I mean, so
they both never been five, which is super interesting. So if it goes late, I just feel like Blanchfield constantly pressuring her. I think she'll break her eventually, get her to the ground, and take her back in a scramble. And people are going to be surprised, like, oh, wow. But I'm going to be like, I called it. So I'm hoping it happens. We'll just say that. I think I saw Blanchfield by sub. That's my pick. So just recapping the card really quickly, guys. I think we had all the same picks. Did we really?
No. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Whoa, that never happens.
When is the last time that happened? I don't even know if it's ever happened before.
I think it was when Easter was at the same time at Christmas. That's when it happened.
Was it? Jesus. No. So we have all the same picks. We have one consensus dog, Victoria Dudikova. One consensus dog, Marcel. Yeah. So that's interesting. Give me your best three bets on the card. Give me your best three. The most picks.
Most confident picks. Let me think. We're going with Blanchfield. I'm sorry. I'm just doing it. Fuck it. I'm going with Let me think. With the Bruno Silva, I'd say.
Who's your third?
Yeah, who's my third? That's a good question.
Really think about this for a second, because I'm really curious.
Julio Arce.
That's your third? Okay. So I have Blanchfield, Silva, and I like Lupi. Those are my three. Those are the three I like the most on this card.
Ooh, you man, like Lupi too, right? I like Lupi, but I'm not as convinced as you are. But
yeah, okay. I do agree with you. I agree with Tristan that one of these dogs, another dog will win. I mean, I'll say that.
I mean, of course, we never have 100%.
I've picked like one or two perfect cards, and I've been fights in like almost 15 years. I mean, it's really hard to pick a perfect card. It's really hard. The last time I picked a perfect card was Overeem versus Rosenstrike, and it came down to Rosenstrike knocking Overeem with 4 seconds left. I was like, are you serious? I'm like, I'm going to get the last one wrong, and then he knocked me. I was like, holy shit, I have a perfect card. This is crazy. And there was two draws in that card too. So it's like, and if it's a draw, I don't count it as a loss, obviously. But, you know, like I needed those two draws and a guy to have a crazy comeback. So it's very hard to do. Anyways, hopefully it's a good night. I'm still doing really well in the picks. I looked at Brian's pick sheet. I'm still number one on YouTube, guys. So number one still, but barely hanging on to that lead. And, you know, there's some really good fucking guys out there picking fights. You know what I mean? So we'll see what happens. But hey, if I can finish this quarter off, Marcel, number one on YouTube, I'll fucking take that. I'll tell you that right now, especially because there's been some tough cards to pick and I've had some ups and downs. But if I can do that now, I'll be really proud of myself, dude.
I thought you said I fucking take you, but you said you fucking take that. So I'm happy you said.
No, I'm just taking it because you know, like I actually do put a lot of effort into breaking down the fights, and it's like I think about them a lot, and I know you do too. And it's like you want to be good at it, but it's, dude. If we were so good at it, like I'd have a castle. I always talk about that.
Exactly.
I'd have this fucking castle. I'd have all these women there, like bringing me food and like. Just like it would be crazy. I'd have like 10 wives, and it'd be amazing, man.
That 80s.
It'd be the life. It'd be the life. But yeah, no, I'm just a big fan of the sport. Anyways, that's all I wanted to say, guys. But yeah, appreciate you guys all joining us. I mean, I think that's it, right? Like, there's no other card this week, right? I mean, there's LFA and there's Cage Warriors, but we don't break down this card. It's a little too much to break down. So I think we'll end the show here, guys. We appreciate it. We went a little past the 2-hour mark, but that's okay. Arkansas, anything else you want to talk about, my friend?
No, man, I'm pretty tired these last couple of days. So, listen, man, I love doing this with you, but I'm also kind of happy we're through it.
No, I think we're good too. I mean, listen, like we had Alex on, so we did a little extra breakdown. We had a third guy, but it's okay. I was glad to have him on. Again, if you missed that recap, we had Alex Bahunin on from MMA Media, so definitely check that out. But yeah, Marcel, I had a good time as always, my friend. Always love doing the show with you, my brother. And yeah, so appreciate all you guys in the chat. We always appreciate you guys showing up. Monday's here, and it was a lot of fun. Hope you guys stay safe, and best of luck with your bets this weekend, everyone. Hopefully you guys cash some bets, and you know, hopefully our picks do really well again, and we'll see what happens. But until then, have a great week, guys, and talk to you soon. Peace.